Okay, Rabbi Issa, I'd like to tell you, I remember the, we had discussions last week, I thought about this a little bit, and I'll tell you what I remembered. I was a bocher when I went to Mir Yeshiva, I was about 18 or 19 years old. And I remember that when, about half a year after I got there, they started learning Maseches Yevamos. Maseches Yevamos is incredibly, I don't know, I'm sure you've maybe tried, I mean, I find it extremely difficult. Maseches Yevamos is probably one of the three hardest Maseches. Very, very difficult, very complex, and it's very different than any other learning. It's very, very difficult. Maseches Yevamos is extremely complex, and I tried it, the first mission, the first daf, and I felt that I'm not going to matzliach. It's a long, they were just about to start and embark on Maseches Yevamos in a long winter's man, and I felt that I think it's not going to work. I just felt it's not going to work. And I was a fresh young bach. And I said, you know what? I have so much to learn. Shas is so big. And there's so much more to learn. And it happens to be that I can find easily chavus to learning something else. I had cheshik then for another masechta. And I felt, you know, it's not masechta yevamos. I'm not going to, it's not for me. And I don't have the, I want to learn something else. And I was able to find in Meir Yeshiva the great, huge, humongous Mir Yeshiva. I was matzliach in finding another very good chavusa to embark on learning something else. Before doing so, though, I said, you know what? I'm gonna ask Shiva. I'm gonna ask Shiva. If you give me a bracha for that. So I went humbly to Abnosan Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha, and I told him what I would like, what I intend to do. I had a little bit of kesher with him. I was zoicha to touch his souls a little bit. I was zoicha to be miskarev a little bit to Reb Nosson Tzvi. And Reb Nosson Tzvi told me, and I told him that. Reb Nosson Tzvi told me as follows. He told me, I don't think you should do it. And I asked him why. He said, I'll tell you. I said, there is a special siyat dishmai, the special brocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives when a person learns amongst a huge, with an oilem, if a person learns with an oilem, with others, then even if initially he's not ignited, but there's a tremendous bracha that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives. He showers a bracha on people that learn with the crowd. If you learn with the crowd, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a special bracha. He says, people don't fail. If you learn with the crowd, you don't fail. You don't fail. If you learn on your own, he says, you don't know what's going to happen. You can't guarantee you anything. Can't guarantee. There's no guarantees. A person learns on his own, there's no guarantee. But if you go with a crowd, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a special, unique bracha for that. And I don't know if he said it, or afterwards when I shmuzed it through with Abaye Finkel, I think he may have added, that this is the success story of the Daf Yomi. What's the secret of the Daf Yomi? The secret of the Daf Yomi is that initially was only a few, but eventually it was more, and now it's literally tens of thousands of people learning Daf Yomi. That's a success. That's the success story of Daf Yomi. The key of it is the fact that together works best. Together works best. Together it does with the special bracha that Shmuel gives when you're not learning together. It's interesting because I was very reluctant because I had such strong reservations to learn Yevamos. I was very reluctant. But I then, after going to the Nosson Tzvi, I went to Baye Finkel and he told me the same thing. And then I said, you know, I'm going to embark on it. And I remember that he told me the words, that v'akshin yatzliach, v'ayi finkel, when I finished conversation with him, he said, akshin yatzliach, you know, you just go for it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives bracha. And Ataka went, and Ataka learned Yevamos. And I must say that after learning Yevamos, beginning I found it very difficult, but eventually I enjoyed it so much, I probably enjoyed it more than any other Masechta I learned in Mir Yeshiva. I was there for maybe 6-7 years. Probably the most, I enjoyed it after, so tremendous. I even wrote a little kontos at the end, a little pamphlet I wrote on the Masechta Yevamos with Chidushim. Yeah, I was mamash amazing. So I sensed how the bracha is true. I sensed after half year or year, I realized that this bracha is very true. If you learn with the crowd, it's a bracha. So the reason why I'm sharing this little story with you is because I thought about this and I thought that we probably should embark on Maseches Eruvin today. And there's a special bracha. And as well as I must say something else. I looked at the simonim that are ahead of us. And there's some really, really important simonim, Hilchos Shabbos. And I feel that I will be more relaxed and let me say it's Zenene v'Zenene, because we're able to learn all the halachas at greater ease without, if we know we have to catch up, we're always going to be on a catch-up mode, which we will eventually be able to catch up. But I do feel that we'll be able to learn in greater detail, in greater depth. These very important Achshimem is Kosev, such important Alachas and other Tizashmas Kol, which is really, really important. Such important Alachas, and if you're going to be all time on a catch-up mode, it's going to be difficult to give it its deserved focus. Hence, I would like to start today with Hilchos Eruvin. We'll be learning the option which was last week called option 2, which will be the first 10 minutes. We'll be learning a little bit of Hilchos Eruvin for 10 minutes, and we'll be learning after continuing with Simon Shin Lamed Vav. And I think like this, we'll all be happy and we'll all be very matzliach and b'siat tishma. I think that's what we're going to be doing. And the truth is, this is the model we did. This is the model we did last cycle, and looking back, I think we were very matzliach, b'siat nishma, and therefore, b'shuschem, I feel that this is what we're going to have the best way forward. Are we okay with all that? Are we going to be okay with that? Yeah, is that good? So, Rabbi said there is the Mishnah Berurah have been kindly, not by myself, delivered number 11s, which are in the back over there. Please feel free to take them. They are kindly made available by Dirsho International, Dirsho Europe, which have kindly given us for distribution. We will catch up, because we're going to be spending the first 10 minutes on an omud a day of Hilchos Eruvin. We will start with Chelik Dalet. We'll spend the first part of the shiur on this, and then subsequently, for the second part of the shiur, we will catch up with where we're holding. Okay. We will need hold cup. It's a bit of a challenge, but hold cup, but we're going to be fine with that. Okay. So, Simen Shin Mem Vav. Din Abu Rishuis b'Shabbos. This is the halachas of the four Rishuis on Shabbos. There is a Issa deraisa of carrying on Shabbos from Rishus Yochet to Rishus Rabim, from Rishus Yochet to Rishus Shin Memei. From a public domain to a private domain and vice versa. It's a Torah restriction. In order to define this restriction, we need to define what the four domains are. And this is what Simon Shin Mem Hei Sif Aleph is doing. Din Arbor Shuis B'Shabbos, the four domains on Shabbos. Sif Aleph, Arbor Shuis L'Shabbos is four domains on Shabbos. Rishus Yochid, a private domain. Rishus Rabim, a public domain. A Kamlis, which the Ramo explains, Perish Rachmo, Loi Lach V'Lo Yovesh. It's in between, what we would call in plain English, Parva. It's not dry and it's not moist. Hello, Benini, but in between. A Kamlis is a domain which is not public and not private. It's in between. Hachanam is in Loi Rishus Yochid. It's not private domain. Levish Eile Mechitzas. There is no Mechitzas. Loi Rishus Rabim. It's also not public domain. She'enu Doim Le Digle Midbar. It's not comparable to Digle Midbar where there's huge amount of access of people. Telav Le Lucha De Rabim Avida. So Kamlis will be defined in much greater detail. We can leave this out for now. This is not the place now to discuss Kamlis. What we need to know is the rise of the biblical domains, which is Rishus Yochid and Rishus Rabim. And then the Kamlis we leave out for now. And Mokum Ptur, which is the fourth domain, which is actually a non-domain. Mokum Ptur is a non-domain. It's a domain which doesn't fit in any category. Here's the Mokum Ptur. Mokum Ptur is very relevant, especially when a person has got perhaps he finds that he's got a tissue in his pocket on Shabbos. He walked out of a private domain and he's got a tissue in his pocket, or he's got any other item, a button in his pocket, and the night doesn't know what to do with it. So according to all opinions, the best thing you should do if you find an item in your pocket on Shabbos is you don't put in the Rishus Rabim, you don't put in the Rishus Yochid, but you're exempt from any melacha if you place this item on top of a Mokum Ptur. There's no melacha involved in carrying something onto a Mokum Ptur. That's why it's called a Mokum Ptur, a place of exemption, because there is no Hilchos Hotzah in that. To find a Mokum Ptur is not easy, but perhaps there is something which is not defined as any domain is considered a Mokum Ptur. Therefore, if you do find something in your pocket, you should ideally put it in a Mokum Ptur. There has been discussion as to whether perhaps a... Pardon? Perhaps the post box is a Mokum tool, perhaps. It's not Poshet, because according to, when I looked into it once, it appeared that it actually may fit into a Rishus Yochid. So it may be, but it certainly, there's a strong tzad that a post box is considered a Mokum tool. If it is a Mokum tool, then if you do find the tissue in your pocket on Shabbos, the best, what you should do is to put in a Mokum tool, you put it on top or in the post box, and then you exempt from any melacha. That's the best way. I don't know if that's the best thing to do, but maybe on top. Without stopping, indeed. Yeah, because if you're stopping, then it's considered as if you have placed something in a public domain. Okay, but more on the Mokum tool at a later point. And now we're going to define a Rishus Yochid, which is safe base. Tell Ezer Rishus Yochid. What is a Rishus Yochid? Mokum, a Mokum of Mechitzes, a place which is surrounded by Mechitzes Gvoyois Asor Tfochim. A private domain is defined by being a mokoim, a mokav mechitzes, a place surrounded by walls, mechitzes, walls, gvoyos, tall, high, asor tfochim, 10 tfochim. How much is that approximately? 10 tfochim? Yeah, that's probably 10 tfochim. That's the height, the minimum height of a Rishus Yochid. Ve'yesh ba'arba tfochim al arba tfochim o yoisa, and it's arba tfochim, 4 tfochim, on 4 tfochim on in area. So that's the definition of Rishus Yochid, Rabbi Yisai. 4 tfochim on 4 tfochim, 10 tfochim high. That's very little. So this is Rishus Yochid. It's Rishus Yochid. If that would be placed on a street, that's considered really Rishus Yochid. Anything that is of that size, approximately, is Rishus Yochid. A car, Rabbi Yisai, is, according to all opinions, nearly all opinions, a Rishus Yochid. It's 10 tfochim high, unless you've got this really Formula One car. Unless you've got a Formula One car, a car is Rishus Yochid. It's every 10 tfochim high, 4 on 4 is Rishus Yochid. It is. A car is Rishus Yochid. Now, not only that, v'chein charitz amoik asara v'rochav arba al arba. So charitz is a groove. If something goes down, you've got a building site, and they've dug in the ground something which is 10 tfachim low, and it's got a space of 4 tfachim on 4 tfachim, that is also Rishus Yochid. V'chein teil gavoy, also when there's something piled up, not a hill, it's just a heaped up area, that is also considered a 10 tfochim mechitza on the side, 4 tfochim on 4 tfochim, that would be considered Rishus Yochid. And the Rama adds, V'yesh oim de b'inon b'ilu abo al abo, v'hein al achsoy noinon, k'moish is ba'le k'mon simen shin mem tes. There is an opinion that holds that it needs to be 4 tfochim and 4 tfochim, and also the diameter also needs to be 4 tfochim, and that is discussed in greater detail in simen shin mem tes. Seif Gimel, which is the final seif for today, k'solim ha'akifu m'shus yochid, when you've got a area, which is got Rishus Yochid area, and it has a wall. And the wall itself is quite thick. Imagine a brick wall surrounding the Rishus Yochid. What is the halacha of the wall? Can you put something on top of the wall? Is that considered the actual wall? If you put something on top of the wall, which is surrounding a private domain, is that Rishus Yochid or not? Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, Ksolim, the wall, Amakif Rishus Yochid, but surrounding Rishus Yochid, Al Gabein, on top of them, Rishus Yochid is Rishus Yochid. Even if they are not 4 tfachim wide. So anything which is actually surrounding the Rishus Yochid becomes part of the Rishus Yochid itself. Rabbi said just an important point. Is a broad walk a Rishus Yochid or not? The broad walk. Pardon? The broad walk. I mean the shopping center. Brent Cross. Is it Rishus Yochid or not? What about Houston train station? Houston station? Yeah. It is Rishus Yochid. So Rabbi said, this is a very important point, which is very often, there's a misconception about that. There's nothing to do. How many people actually access this place? You can have millions of people going through that place every day. If it has the definition that we just discussed, 4 tfachim, 10 tfachim high, it is a Rishus Yochid. If it's got walls around it, it will be a Rishus Yochid. Even if there's a million people going through it every day, it will be a Rishus Yochid. So the example that we saw yesterday, which I think is a very nice example, you go through a tunnel, You could have the M1 or any motorway, which is a, it could be an airport, in fact. Airport is a very good example, but it's literally hundreds of thousands of people going through on a regular basis. If it's got the mechitzas around it, it will be considered a reshus hayochid, a private domain. Just a little point which I must add is a halacha called a kafuf, that at times, if something is not a residential area, but there are various restrictions in it, and it will be considered a kafuf. But that's not for now. Perhaps there might be a rabbanon halachas on it. But as a principle, certainly with the rice, as a principle, we have to realize that anything which is surrounded by mechitzas is a reshus yochid, and it makes no difference how many people go through it on a daily basis. Same will also be with the reshus rabbim, but that we'll discuss another time. Yitzhak Hashem. Okay, that's it with regards to chelik dalet. We move now back. We go back with Simon Shinlam Advo, and we go to the. To,
just one question.
Yeah.
So you
think
you can carry...
Yes. We'll see some. There's two drabonon issues with it. We'll discuss that in Mitzvah. But Medereise, yes, you may carry in a hospital. Hospital is a very good example as well. A hospital is Medereise Rishos Yochit. Okay. We discussed him in Shin Lamed Vav. We entered the discussion of climbing up a tree on Shabbos. By the way, this is why there's a Mishnah in Shabbos that tells us, you know, a person is not allowed to build a sukkah on a tree. Do you remember that Mishnah in sukkah? In Pega Yoshin? You know, if you have a sukkah on a tree, you're allowed to use a sukkah. Why not? You're right, you can't. Because you're not allowed, that's right, this is the Rabbanon, you're allowed to. Yeah, Chalamot, you could, yeah. What if there's a shofar, so the Golden speaks about a shofar on a tree on Shabbos. The shofar was misplaced the shofar on a tree first day of Shana. For some ununderstandable reason, the shofar ended up on a tree on Shabbos. The halacha is, you may not take the shofar down. Because although you're going to be losing a deraisa, but there's an issur d'rabbanan of climbing up a tree on Shabbos, not to be mishtamash a tree on Shabbos. Okay. Hanging a hat on a tree, also. Yeah, so don't, if you've got a nice, you're sitting outside, you want to hang up your jacket outside in the back garden, you don't have to hang up your jacket on a tree on Shabbos. Okay, I'll quickly start from the beginning of the sif as well. Ein oilin be'ilon, a person is not allowed to climb up a tree on Shabbos. Bein lach, ben yovesh, whether the tree is moist or dry. Ve'in nitlin boy, you're not allowed to hang something up on the tree. Ve'in mishtamshim b'mechopo lekak ha'klal, you're not allowed to use anything which is connected to the ground at all. Kzeiro, lest a person, shema ya'alev yitlosh, person is going to climb up and break off a branch on Shabbos. Ola be'ilon b'Shabbos, what happens if you climbed up the tree on Shabbos? B'shoigeg, if you made a mistake, you thought it's a weekday. B'shoigeg, mutal erid, you're allowed to go down on Shabbos. Oh yeah, I forgot. I climbed up the tree on Shabbos. I forgot, you know that. You're allowed to go down on Shabbos. B'meizid, if a person climbed up the tree on Shabbos, knowing he's not allowed to, he's not allowed to go down. You have to wave to him and wish him good Shabbos. He's not allowed to go down. A knas. You say, hello, you stay there now. B'meizid, he stays up. Yeah, that's always a question. Yeah. It's a knas.
When to save a child, let's say.
Yeah, then, if it's to save it, that means, yeah, that's probably, yeah, good question. If the child went up there and he can't climb down, what would be the halacha then? So I think that a person, Yeah, but if a person is up there and he can't get down, I think there would probably be a heter. Although there might not be a pikuach nefesh. Yeah, but that, yeah. You mean that if he climbed up, which is allowed to, is he allowed to go down? Let's say he helped him going up, can he go down? Why would he be mutter?
Unless going down is part of saving the kid.
Let's just finish off the next line. If he went up before Shabbos, if he went up before Shabbos, he's allowed to go down either way, even if it was amazing. Some say, that we said, that a Friday person went up, he's allowed to go down on Shabbos either way. That's only if his intention was to go down. But if his intention was never to go down on Friday, is not allowed to go down. Because his intention was to do an Issa. So according to the second opinion, depends on what his intention was. His intention was to remain there by Issa, then he's not allowed to go down. It says that, so you're asking, what happens if you went there to save a child from remaining there for Shabbat? What's the halacha? What do you taina? That you would be like, why is he allowed? You're talking about a Pikuach Nefesh case? Yeah, that is certainly mutter. Yeah. Same thing. It's the same thing. Because when you're jumping down, it also mishtamach. Hemoshi speaks about this, that jumping is also considered mishtamach. Because you're leaning and using it as a jumping is the same aloha. Jumping is not more kuladik. We move on. This is only with regards to a person. If you place an item on the tree before Shabbos, also little Shabbos, you're allowed to take it down. Rabbi said, if you hang up your coat on the tree on Shabbos, you may not take it down on Shabbos. It doesn't mean with regards to a tree. Soft branches, which is literally like grass. You're allowed to use them. If it's very soft, you're allowed to use it. Although you're connected to the ground, because anything which is green and soft, there's no issue to use it. And that leads us really to Seif Beis. Roots of the tree, which are higher than 3 tefachim, also l'shtamash b'hem, you're allowed to use them. And that was the, what did we ask us? Was it you? Yeah, the stump. What's the halacha is? That's less than 3 tefachim. So if it's less than 3 tefachim, you're allowed to use it. But if it's more than 3 tefachim, also l'shtamash b'hem. Pochus mikan, mutter l'shtamash b'hem. So the question is only, is it more than 3 tefachim? It's also. Less than 3 tefachim is mutter. Why is it mutter? Mutter l'shtamash b'hem de'kakech shiva, because it's considered kakech, it's considered ground. Ve'im boim lemal of yodim lemat. What happens if you've got a root that is going up more than 3 tefachim, one of those big roots? They are going up more than 3 tefachim, and then it's going down again. If they're going up and then going down those roots, the area which is higher than 3 tefachim, you may not use at all. And the place which are less than 3 tefachim, you're allowed to use mutter. If there were higher than 3 tefachim, there's a hole underneath it. So they were higher than 3 tefachim, but they were from a hole. Half of pishim mitzad echot ein chalal tachtem. Although from one side, from one perspective, there is no hole. Ve'en shavron oretz is only which within 3 tefachim, the same height than the ground. Hosoleishem afilu al tzad shavosh b'oretz. You may have to sit even on the area which is shavron oretz. Rabbi said, this is talking about a follows. You've got a root which is the starting point is lower than 3 tefachim in the ground. He's starting from a groove, but it's going up. And then it's going onto the earth. So imagine a groove like this. So this is the ground. There's a hole over here. And in that hole, in that groove, that's where the root is. So and then it's going. And it's going more than 3 tefachim as far from its starting point, from that groove, from that hole, from that pit. It's more than 3 tefachim. But it's not 3 tefachim from the leveled ground. So is that considered more than 3 tefachim and therefore you're not allowed to sit, you're not allowed to use it, or is it considered, because it is 3 tefachim from there, it is more than 3 tefachim from its starting place. But if you look at the level ground on the side, it's within 3 tefachim, so what's the halacha? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that im yesh, ahoyu gvoim shloshe v'chalal tachtem, it's more than 3 tefachim, but there's a hole underneath it, so the halacha is also leishev, you're not allowed to sit on it, even on the area, on the side, which is within 3 tefachim from the leveled ground. You wouldn't be allowed, because the Maaseh says it's growing more than 3 tefachim from the ground. Rabbi said, there's a very, very interesting Mishnah Berurah over here, which I must say, I don't think I was aware of it. What do you say is the halacha if you have got something which is less than 3 tefachim, but it has got peiros, it's got fruit on it, or berries or something? We're allowed to walk on it or not? What could be a good example? Could you think of something? Which kind of fruit or berries?
Pineapples.
Pardon?
Pineapples.
Pineapples are very low?
Yeah.
Very low. Pineapples. Okay, good. You're allowed to walk in an area with waste pineapple field. You're going out on Shabbat. It's a field and it's, let's say, pineapples or fruit, which are berries, you name it. And there could be a vineyard and there's grapes like on the floor. Would you be allowed to walk there, yes or no? So based on what we learned so far, the halacha is, lesson three tefachim, halacha would be allowed to. Mishnah Berurah is mechadesh v'ein tzidkot, new test, I'm reading three lines into Sifkot New Test. V'yesh loim al hepach. Tekol sheyesh peiros. Any thing that grows from the ground, which has peiros, which has fruit, pechol gavni, in every instance, yesh likzoir. We must make a gzeira. Sheloi leishtame shalav. You may not use it. Shemayit loish. Perhaps you're going to tear it off. So, the halacha is, you may not use something which is less than three tefachim if it's got peiros. If something has got peiros, then it's also because maybe you're going to end up tearing it off. So in this pineapple field, if you're walking with it, there's a chashash, you're going to tear off these pineapples, and therefore it's also. There is an interesting bialoch, and I'll finish off with that. Running on grass. What's the halacha? Also, you're not allowed to. Why? Very good. That's what the bialoch is mechadosh over here. That walking on grass is mutter, because you're not going to tear anything off. But running on grass, chances are you're going to tear something off. It's very likely. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah is mechadosh. The bialoch wants to say that in a running is, you're likely to tear off the grass, therefore it's also. I do not know why I humbly don't know why the Mi'olocha assumes that it's a psikesha, you're going to tear off grass when you run. Don't know why. Is that always the case? When you run, you're going to tear off grass?
Doesn't it depend on whether the grass is dry or wet?
Perhaps, that's a good point.
If it's wet,
perhaps, if it's wet. Yeah, very good, very good. Maybe that's a good point. If it's cut as well, then if it's cut, then. Less likely. Yeah, okay, but the bialoch doesn't distinguish, not your distinction, which makes a lot of sense to me, not your distinction, which also makes a lot of sense to me. Bialoch seems to categorically say that running over grass is also because it's a psychiatria. But is that always the case? Is that always the case? Is that a matzias that you're always going to tear grass when you run? He says it's a psychiatria. Fine, okay, so you're fine with bialoch. To me, it sounds a bit of a chiddush. Perhaps the mice, what the mishnah will pass against. Someone should refrain from running over grass if it's a psychiatria, but I do not know if that's always in every instance. Okay, Rabbi, say, we learned in Simin Shin Lamed Vav tonight that there's an issa to be mishtamesh be mechuba, any tree you're not to use mederabonon. You're not to climb over it. If you climb over it, you have to stay there. Koponim fos bemezit. You're not allowed to be mishtamesh on a tree, which means you're not even allowed to recline it, you're not to lean it, you're not allowed to put something on it. If you put something on it before Shabbos, you're allowed to take it down because you're mishtamesh be mechuba. We learned that the same applies to anything which grows in the ground. However, if it is less than three tefachim, the issa does not apply. Anything with less than three tefachim is allowed to use. And we spoke about this interesting case of the root. And here again, if it's more than three tefachim, the issa is you may not use it on Shabbos. We move on from Siv Gimel tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Good evening and good Chodesh to all.